Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, is requested by you, the servicemen and women of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till it's over there. Okay there, gang, time to gather around your international walkie-talkie and grab another mitt full of stardust, coming to you in answer to your request to Command Performance, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Roll call tonight sounds like we might have borrowed it from the guest list of wayside inns around Sussex, Wessex, and Essex. You'll meet such luminaries of grease paint, cinema, and wireless as Sir Aubrey Smith, Dame Mae Whitty, Reggie Gardner, Ida Lupino, Cary Grant, Jenny Sims, and your master of ceremonies, Ronald Coleman.
Thank you, Ken Carpenter, and greetings from the USA. Command Performance Headquarters has gathered the Teabag Battalion around the microphone to transplant a bit of Piccadilly to the heart of Hollywood and Vine. We trust that by the time we're ready to say so long, we'll have you sipping your K-rations out of the sorter. But first, I want you to meet a lovely young lady who is not only a favorite pin-up girl here in America, but I understand her pins are greatly admired in the United Kingdom and vice versa. Men, here is Ginny Sims.
Thank you, Ronald Coleman. By the way, to whom do I owe the honor of being among you?
Well, Ginny, there's more than one reason. First, because of your great popularity among the British, Canadian, and Australian fighting men all over the world.
Well, thank you.
And second, because of your birthplace.
My birthplace? Well, I was born in Brooklyn.
I know, but you see, we figured that Brooklyn is about halfway between England and America. Anyway, let's not forget Brooklyn is one of our allies.
Oh. Well, what I meant was Brooklyn, Texas. I had to get into the gag, you know. Well, thanks, Ronnie. And hi there, fellas. I want to send along special regards to Johnny Fry on that big, soggy jungle aisle. The Kirshner, Hodson, Reuter, and Romine at 149. The Flak Shack number 6 in England, Patterson and the gang at Navy 285. For Morris, Joe, Dave, and Stinky, quartet of solid CBs. The Cosmo Kids at 520, including Grimp the Shrimp. And the 512 gang, Sad Herbert, Sad Stonewall, Sad Killer, Sad Red, Sad Boak, and Happy Charlie. How do you get in there? Well, Dave Harris, 942, the T-Head, Japman, Nip, Hip, and Joe Lewis at 364. And folks so full of a real rug man in the Royal Canadian Navy, namely Chirpy, Al Kincaid, and Louis the Limper. Now, what do you dig your foxhole with a spade or a teaspoon? This song is for you, the man I love. Come along, the man I love, and he'll be big and strong, the man I love, and when he comes my way, I'll do my best to make him stay. He'll look at me and smile, I'll understand, and in a little while, he'll hold my hand, and though it sounds absurd, I know we both won't say. Maybe I shall meet him Sunday, maybe Monday, maybe not. Still I'm sure to meet him one day,
maybe Tuesday will be my good news day. He'll build a little home just meant for two, from which I'll never roam. Who would you? And so all else above, I'm waiting for the man I love. Maybe I shall meet him Sunday, maybe Monday, maybe not. Till I'm sure to meet him one day, maybe Tuesday will be my good news day. He'll build a little home just meant for two, from which I'll never roam. Who would you? And so all else above, I'm waiting for the man I love.
Thank you, Ginny Sims. We'll have more from you in the repeat show. You know, a career in grease paint is a fleeting thing at best. Monday, an actor is unknown. Tuesday, his name is on every tongue. And Wednesday, he's deep in the confines of oblivion once again. Ah, but not so with our next guest. They've been up there so long, they have more flying hours than Crosby's talk. So, two of the grandest people I've ever had the pleasure of knowing, Dame May Whitty and Sir Aubrey Smith. Dame May and Sir Aubrey, it's a great pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Rami.
You're very kind.
And it's most fitting that you should be here, because I'm certain that no one represents the very essence of Britain to American moviegoers as you two do.
Well, perhaps that's because we've become a little less Americanized than others of the English colony here. Ronnie, you know, we're rather set in our ways.
After all, at our age, what can you expect?
Speak for yourself, Aubrey.
Oh.
In other words, then, because you are so steeped in the law and tradition of England, America has not yet left its imprint on you, correct, Sir Aubrey?
You ain't just beating your chop, Jack.
I'm not.
No, you're undoubtedly cooking with gas.
This is amazing.
Now, Ronnie, let's not blow our top.
Oh, I never thought I'd hear that sort of talk from either of you. No matter how long you've been in the country. You know, you who always thought no meal was complete without Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, we still insist on Yorkshire pudding with every meal, old boy.
Yes, only now we dunk it.
Well, I'm glad to see you're both still British right down to your fingertips.
Of course we are, Ronnie. After all, England's our homeland, the land of our youth.
And quite a gay youth it was, according to certain rumors which have reached me, Sir Aubrey.
No, please, old fellow. Slip of the lip may sink the ship.
Well, mine was gay, and I don't care who knows it. Every night found me in my best hoop skirt at some nightclub, sipping champagne and dancing my head off.
A little different from your present life, then, May.
Oh, yes. I don't wear hoop skirts anymore.
Well, that was a normal youth, I imagine, for one of England's greatest music hall stars. And by the way, Dame May, one of our guests tonight is also a former music hall star, a gentleman named Cary Grant.
Grant? Familiar name? Seems to me I knew a man named Grant some years ago.
This is Carey, dear, not Ulysses.
Oh.
We'd love to stay and say hello to him, Ronnie, but we've some makeup to put on.
Oh, yes, that's right. You're appearing in our mystery play later, aren't you? Well, I'll give Carey your best.
Thank you. Come along, Aubrey.
Coming, Mother.
Gentlemen of the AEF, the BEF, and the CEF, I want you to meet a handsome lad, well known to all of you, who started out in life as a professional silk walker. This young man has flashing brown eyes, wavy black hair, and a deep dimple which he acquired when a lady silk walker slapped his right cheek with her left silk. Cary Grant. Cary, welcome to Command Performance.
Well, thanks a lot, Ronnie. A pleasure to be here.
You know, I'm sorry to say I never saw you work on stilts in vaudeville. Were you popular?
Oh, yeah, my stilts were. I used to follow a dog act.
I mean with your audience.
Oh, yes, indeed. You see, Ronnie, I wasn't an ordinary stilt walker like Gary Cooper.
Gary Cooper doesn't walk on stilts?
He doesn't. My, he's tall, isn't he?
Tell me, Gary, what did your act consist of?
Well, I jumped over a picket fence, did a snappy tap dance, and for a finish, I'd rub my two stilts together and start a fire.
Did you do well?
Oh, yeah, especially in New York. For an encore, Mayor LaGuardia used to grab a hose and put me out.
Getting back to your pre-stilt days, Cary, didn't you do a bit of cackling at one time or another?
Oh, no. No singing, only snappy patter.
Snappy patter?
Yes, you know, like, you tell him, Dr. Jekyll, I'll hide.
Snappy, he says. Well, maybe you should have sung. You know, if you could tell that last joke, you can get away with anything. Didn't you know a song about a very young sailor kissing his mother goodbye on the dock or something like that?
Oh, yes. Well, Ronnie, that wasn't mine. I heard it someplace. A very sad song, very sad.
Well, give us a few bars.
Well, all right. Seems to me it went something like, Goodbye, mother, while I'm out at sea. Think of your sailor that works in the sail, and I will think of thee. Oh, mother dear, don't keep me waiting, 'cause there is no cause for delay. And while he was kissing his mother goodbye, the blinking ship sailed away. It's a very sad song, isn't it, Ronnie?
Oh, very sad indeed. Yeah. Yes, very sad. You know, wasn't there one something about the railroad station? Mm-hmm. I can't seem to remember the exact title.
Oh, you mean watching the trains come in. Ah. Yes, yes. A wonderful comedian, Jack Pleasance, used to sing that.
That's it. Yes, a love song. A very beautiful love song. About a Lancashire lad and his girl. They used to go down to the railroad station every Sunday night and watch the trains come in.
That's right, Ronnie. You see, there aren't any movies, and in Lancashire on a Sunday night, what else can a boy and girl do?
Give us a few bars, Cary.
All right, beautiful song. Watching the trains come in, watching the trains come in, we'd sit for hours hand in hand, as only lovers understand. Watching the trains come in, and hearing the porters shout, and when we'd watched all the trains come in, we'd watch all the trains go out. Wasn't that beautiful, Ronnie? Made you cry, didn't it? Well, I'd better catch that train myself. I've got to go out.
No. Stick around, Cary. We need you in our pièce de résistance. While While thumbing through our command performance mail, one comes across the name of our next guest many, many times. She's well known as one of Hollywood's greatest emotional actresses. Gentlemen, here's Ida Lupino.
Thanks, Ronnie, and hi there, fellas.
Ida, I introduced you as an emotional actress, but I understand you've something different in mind for us tonight.
Oh, not so very different, Ronnie. What I'm going to do will probably make strong men weep, women faint, and little children run screaming.
You mean...
Yes, I'm going to sing. But I've lost my voice, so you'll have to help me out, Ronnie.
Well, all right. The gentlemen of the armed forces are used to living dangerously.
But first, I want to dip into the mailbag and answer a few of your letters. There's Fanning at 937, Jim Bentley and 5 British Tommies, the Chirora Club at 713, Zeke, Bush, Lenny, Ernie, Hinder Lover, and the boys on Blueberry Hill at 689. Pehosh, Johnson, Jolly, Russell, Truey, DeRosa, and Buchanan at Navy Hut A7. Buzzard Beat, Fat Boy, Skinny Puss, Muck, and Cabbage Head at 520. And K.G. Moody with the Royal Canadian Navy. Regards to Rocket and the gang on Ascension, Red, Howie, Vet, and Ferdy at 321. The 104 OCBs and that swell gang with the mighty eights in Italy who signed Yours Till That Certain Place Freezes. And for the original gang in Normandy, Ronnie's going to help me do my best with the favorite song of the B.E.F.
predominantly British cast would be complete without England's favorite diversion, the Shilling Shocker. And so tonight we proudly present our own thriller, done in the very best Alfred Hitchcock tradition. At the lonely country estate of the 10th Earl of Buckingham, 4 people are grouped about a card table, engaged in a friendly game of bridge. They are completely unaware that an impending doom overshadows one of the players.
It's your bid, George.
Yes. 1 club.
I pass.
1 spade.
I bid. Oh!
Good evening, everyone.
Who the deuce are you, sir?
I am Bulldog Drummond at your service. Have some trouble?
No, thank you. We've just had some.
I say, Drummond, we're looking for a 4th for our bridge game. Do you play?
Well, I do play, but...
Excellent. Push the Earl off the chair and sit down.
No, thank you. I'm here to catch the man who shot the Earl of Buckingham.
Oh, come. A little bridge never hurt anyone.
It doesn't seem to have done the Earl any good.
Drummond, I understand you've just returned from America, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, America. Oh, Mr. Drummond, tell me. Is it true what they say about this Frank Sinatra?
Yes. Yes, madam. Fortunately, unfortunately, it is.
Frank Sinatra? Who the deuce is Frank Sinatra?
He's a species of American crooner, my dear. Seems to have a tremendous appeal for the element who favor rubber stockings.
Robert stockings?
Yes. I believe in America, they're called Bobby socks.
Well, all of this is getting us nowhere with our mystery. The scoundrel must be in this very...
Wait. Who opened that door?
There's no door, my dear fellow. I was just crossing my legs.
Well, there's only one way to solve this case. We must reenact the crime exactly as it occurred. Sir George, I'll take your place and you occupy the victim's seat.
Very well.
All right. Now let's get on with the game. I bid one club.
I pass.
One spade.
I bid... Oh!
It seems to be an unlucky seat tonight, doesn't it?
Is he?
Yes.
Are you sure? You know, it's rather hard to tell with Sir George.
I'm quite sure he's done for.
What a pity. Tomorrow was to be his 83rd birthday. We baked a cake.
Really?
Yes. Even hired a man to blow out the candles.
To tell the truth, I'm a bit unnerved. There's something about being rubbed out that's awfully irritating.
You poor boy. Perhaps a little sherry would do us all good. I'll ring for Hastings.
You rang, madam?
Hastings. Is the sherry at the proper temperature?
Yes, madam. Body temperature.
Body temperature?
Yes, madam. My body.
One moment, my man. Haven't I seen you someplace before?
Ah, confound that memory of yours, Drummond. Yes, I'm Bailey, all right.
I thought so. The man who was cashiered out of the 5th Scottish Highlanders in 1931.
Is this true, Hastings? Were you cashiered from the Scottish Highlanders?
Yes, madam.
But why?
Have you ever seen me in a skirt?
Well, we're going to reenact the crime once more. Hastings, you take the fatal chair.
Oh, no, no.
Well, what's the matter?
Haven't you heard of the health problem? Let me sit there.
Oh, very well. Now we'll begin the game again. I bid one club.
I pass. One spade.
I bid... Oh!
Yes, this can only lead to solitaire.
What was that?
The third floor maid.
What was that?
The second floor maid.
What are they screaming about?
I'm on the first floor.
Aha! Is there anything between you and the third floor maid?
Yes, two floors.
Tea is served, Mum. I said tea is served, Mum.
Don't look now, but Mum is Mum.
Oh, dear. The Madam, the Master, and the Earl. Someone's been at them.
Yes. They've been tampered with.
Oh, this is horrible. I've already sliced their lemon.
Come here, my girl. Haven't I seen you someplace before?
No, Governor.
Yes, I have. You're the famous Limehouse pickpocket, Nimble-Fingered Annie.
Is she really Nimble-Fingered Annie?
Yes, the only girl in the kingdom who can milk a cow without the cow knowing about it.
Amazing.
Well, let's reenact the crime once more. Now, who will sit in the fatal chair?
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Well, that leaves me, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, we'll try some other way.
No. No, that won't be necessary. I've solved this case myself, Drummond.
Eh?
Haven't you noticed that I don't drink, don't smoke, don't play cards, and don't go out with women?
Who are you?
Why, I'm the saint, you silly boy.
Having touched on some of the more uplifting phases of life among the hedgerows, command performance now turns to a phase which concerns itself with history. The incident in history of which I speak not only was one of the important turning points of the war, but had ramifications, or should I say consequences, quite unlike many of our more recent victories. But I'm going to let Ginny Sims tell you about it.
Thanks, Ronnie. Fellas, this might be called, among other things, a musical victory.
It seems that during the Eighth Army's long and perilous march from El Alamein to the boot of Tunisia, Tommy's often spent watchful hours of the night listening to the enemy sing a song about a girl named Lily Marlene. The strains of this simple, haunting melody seem to lift itself out of the German foxholes and be wafted by the gentle Tunisian breeze right over to into the front lines of the Mighty Eight. Well, as the Tommies got closer and closer to Cap Bon, and they were joined by the Americans in southern Tunisia, Lily Marlene seemed to become more and more a symbol of Allied victory. It has been claimed by many. All we know is that Lily Marlene, instead of belonging to the Fritzes and Barnes, today belongs to Joes and Johns. So, on behalf of the Joes and Johns and the ETO, for all of you in other theaters of war, I'd like to sing it now. Major Wilson?
Would you like to hear the story of a girl that many soldiers know? It's a tale of love in all its glory. They tell when the lights are soft and low, underneath the lamppost by the barricade, standing all alone. Every night you'll see her wait. She waits for the boy who marched away, and though he's gone, she hears him say, "Oh, promise you'll be true. Fare thee well, Lily Marlene, till I return to you. Fare thee well, Lily Marlene." Underneath the lamppost by the barricade, standing all alone, every night you'll see her wait. For this is the place a vow was made, and breezes sing her serenade. Oh, promise you'll be true. Fare thee well, Lily Marlene, till I return to you. Fare thee well, Lily Marlene. Underneath the lamppost by the barricade, standing all alone, every night you'll see her wait. And as they go marching to the fray, the soldiers all salute and say, "We'll tell him you've been true. Fare thee well, Lily Marlene, till he returns to you. Fare thee well, fare thee well, fare thee well, Lily Marlene."
Men, it looks like our Orange Pekoe coffee clutch has reached a conclusion. To say that we've enjoyed kicking the adverbs around would be gross understatement. Sir Aubrey, have you a word you'd like to add?
Yes, Ronnie. I'd like to confess here and now that I've not become quite as American as the script made me sound. Matter of fact, I hardly understood a blasted word I said.
You didn't?
Certainly not. Oh, man, I ain't hep. Well, see you around, Jack.
All right, Sir Aubrey. And now, Dame May, have you a few choice words?
I'd just like to say cheerio, pip, pip, and don't take no wooden nickels.
Well, we do our best. Meantime, this is Ronald Coleman on behalf of the other members of our cast saying the best of the best from the USA.
Radio Service.
Thank you.